called and committed, called by Christ, committed for life. And Jesus is out there inviting people to be disciples, inviting people to follow him, inviting them to say, I'm going to live differently, I'm going to receive forgiveness from Christ. And then if we hear that call and respond to that call, there are things that we should commit to, things that will make our faith come alive. So that's the continued focus this morning. And before we get into the message, I just want to say a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word, your scripture to us. Help us to be open to it this morning, that your message may enter our hearts and change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I encourage you to find the sermon notes in your bulletin, and they look about like that. We'll be following along, but before we get to the outline, the message, I want you to hear the message of this triumphal entry as recorded by Matthew. Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 10. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and once you find a donkey tied there, with her colt with her, or at once you will find." Sorry, let me start over, because this is what Jesus said. I don't want to get what Jesus said wrong. "Go into the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. And a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So it is Palm Sunday, and that is one of the three places in Scripture where this event is recorded. And people came out and said, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." And so every year I read this passage or one of the other two, and that can make me think, well, what else is in there? What do I need to say this Palm Sunday? Should I be looking at something else? But I looked at it again, and a few things jumped out at me. The first, in this idea of being called and committed, that we're called by Christ, we need to commit our lives, the go into the village and untie the first donkey you find and bring it to me. Sometimes God asks you to do the unusual. I mean, really, if you stop and think about that, Jesus is saying, "Okay, disciples, go into the city and steal a donkey." I mean, that's what it looks like anyways. I mean, yes, oh, we're just borrowing it, and I'm sure they were, and if somebody asks, tell them what you're doing. But this is unusual behavior. It is not usual to go in, untie a donkey, and say, "Oh, no, God needs this," and walk away with it. All right, sometime God asks you to do the unusual. Sometimes it's for you. Sometimes God says, "Hey, enough of this being an engineer thing. I think you should be in ministry." That was part of my story. That's somewhat unusual to go through 5 years of training to be something, and then God say, "Oh, no, I've got something else in plan for you." All right? Sometimes it's, "Hey, you're in this job, and it's time to make a change." Sometimes it's, "You're in this house, and it's time to make a change." Sometimes it's, "You keep thinking this way, and you need to do something radically different." Sometimes God asks you to do the unusual for you, where God wants you to be. Other times, it's for somebody else. I love those stories where, you know, somebody talks to me, I just felt like God was saying I needed to give this person a gift, and lo and behold, I found out later, it was exactly what they needed at that moment. Or I often hear it on the other side. You know, we were in need of $542, and all of a sudden somebody sent me $542 because they listened to this unusual call of God. So we need to be open to this, because sometimes it's for a change that God wants in us. Sometimes it's to help other people. And sometimes you're just making it up. I want to throw that out there, that, you know, you hear those crazies, right? Oh yeah, God told me to, you know, jump off a bridge. No, he didn't. All right, so if God in your mind is, oh well, he's telling me to do something that's contrary to Scripture, that's going to hurt somebody else, that's going to damage myself. Not that it's, God will tell us to do risky things. God will tell us to do things that may look crazy to the outside. That's the unusual. But if it is contrary to Scripture, you know, God's telling me to cheat on my spouse. No, he's not. All right? So I just want to throw this out there, that yes, God asks you to do the unusual. He does not ask you to do the unethical. All right? I've seen that. But once we hear this, what do we have to do? We have to take a step of faith. We have to act in faith. So if you're following on sermon notes, first blank is unusual. Next one is act in faith. Trusting that God will use it. Because that unusual, sometimes we don't see how God is going to use it. The disciples did not know that all of a sudden there were going to be crowds of people and they were going to be waving and doing all this laying and shouting. And they just knew, hey, I'm going to go get a donkey for Jesus. All right? They acted in faith and trusted God to use it. We don't always know how it's going to come together. But when we hear a nudge, a direction, an opportunity from God, we need to act in faith. And that builds our faith. So that's observation one. Observation two is that in this passage, I see that Christianity is different. Christianity is different because it's all about the first six letters in our name. Christian. Well, what are those? It's Christ. It's all about Christ. And that's something different about Christianity, is that it's focused on this person of Christ who is different. And that's why. Because Christ, what does that word mean? The word literally means Messiah. Okay, well, that's not an English word either. So what does Messiah mean? It literally means anointed one. And in the Bible, when you look, who is anointed? There are three groups that are anointed: prophets, priests, and kings. All right, there would be a prophet that would be anointed. Okay, you are going to speak for God. You're going to give God's messages. There are priests. You're going to be an intermediary between people and God. And there are kings. You are going to take and lead people on behalf of God. And the Bible says Jesus is all of those. Jesus is prophet, priest, and king. And that is a unique mix that is nowhere else in the Bible, in the world. Of someone who's speaking for God, interceding on our behalf before God, and leading us as a king. That is special. That is different. Christ is different. So if you want to write Christ in your notes, Christ is different. Because what does it say? He came in riding on a donkey. See, your king comes to you, O gentle, and riding on a donkey. That's a different kind of king. Kings, they're supposed to be powerful, ruling, authoritarian. Yo, go, do, be. But no, this is a gentle, peaceful king riding not on a stallion, but on a humble animal, humbling himself. Jesus says about himself in Matthew chapter 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and I will give you rest for your souls." What a message. What a difference. Christ is different. Come to me. There's that call. There's that invitation. I'm going to be your prophet. I'm going to be your priest. I'm going to be your king, but I'm humble and gentle, and I will give you rest. And in all of this, with Christ as central, that Jesus is the main focus. When we say Jesus Christ, we are saying Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Anointed One, Jesus the Prophet, Priest, and King. And that is the focus of Christianity. That should be our focus if we are seeking to follow Him. And Palm Sunday, we see this grand entrance. And it just struck me, oh yeah, Jesus is worth making a big deal over. What did it say? It said, well, the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed, they all shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The crowds all around. And I was thinking, well, that's interesting how it breaks it down where the crowds were. Crowds that went ahead of him and the crowds that were behind. So we're going to spend just a lot of time sort of slowing down and thinking about what this means. The crowds that went ahead of him. So in your sermon notes, there are those who go ahead of Jesus. There are those who are preparing the way. There are those who say, hey, somebody great is about to come down this road. Woo! Hosanna in the highest. What does that have to do with you and me? We're not literally laying branches and laying cloaks on the road. So what are we doing? Well, if you know Jesus, if you have been transformed, touched by Christ, you have a calling on your life to prepare the way so others can have that same encounter with Jesus. You are to prepare the way. You're to be an example where people look at you and say, huh, something's different. Yeah, it's just a guy who's coming. You are to be an encouragement. Hey, there's somebody great who can come into your life and transform and make a difference. You're to be that an encourager. You are to be planting ideas. You're to be actually raising questions in people. What is the purpose of life? Can I get rid of my guilt and shame? You're supposed to be removing barriers of belief. Well, I can't believe in a God who does this, God who does that. That's why the sermon series at the beginning of the year, we talked about those barriers for belief, so we can help prepare the way for Christ to come into a life. By people who put up these barriers and these walls, we can start to bring them down so that the road is level and the way is smooth for Christ to come in. You're called to be a pre-witness for Christ. In your example, in your encouragement, in the words that you use among others. So there were those crowds that went ahead of him, but there are also the crowds that followed. Those who followed after him, who said, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, the Son of David is here. Now, what does that have to do with us? Those who follow. Well, somebody just met Jesus. Let's go back to follow, Eric. Those who just met Jesus. Now, okay, who did I just meet? All right? I know that I just had an encounter with something different, someone different that has touched my life, that makes me feel different. But now what? And that's the following after Christ. Because salvation is important. Conversion is central. Okay, we are in darkness, we move to light. We are unforgiven, we are forgiven. We don't know God, we know God. We are not reconciled, we are reconciled. That moment is important. And sometimes we can identify an exact moment. Otherwise, we look back and say, that moment has happened. I now believe. But then there is the now what? And we are called to encourage others, to disciple others, to help them grow in their faith. How do we do that? Well, part of that is by living our faith. By being active in our faith walk, others see that and say, oh, there's a way to do. There's a lesson I can learn. Another way is to encourage, especially new believers. They come in, they get excited, but then they start to say, well, is Jesus? Will Jesus? What about? And we encourage. We answer questions. We remove barriers to growth. If you are following Christ, you are to follow up those who have encountered Christ but now need to take next steps. We're not only a pre-witness, we're a post-witness. There's ahead, there's following, but it doesn't talk about the crowds right there where Jesus was. I think that's interesting, and I'm sure I'm reading too much into this, but I got thinking about it. Well, yeah, there's that stuff leading up to Jesus, and there's the stuff after somebody meets Jesus and has decided to follow Jesus, but at that moment, it's all about Jesus. It's not about you, it's not about me, it's not about any other witness, it's about Jesus. People must encounter Jesus the Savior themselves. Jesus is the main focus, the primary actor in the situation. We can prepare the way, We can lay out a path. We can help people find answers to questions, understand what it might mean if they have this encounter with Jesus. But we can't save anybody. We can't transform anybody. It's only the power of Christ. You and I can help people grow in their faith. We can encourage them along the journey. But it's about that prophet, priest, and king, that Savior, that Messiah. We just do our part along the road, trusting that Savior, that Messiah, to do what only God can do, of reconciling people to God. Now, all analogies have their weaknesses. And so I'm talking about, well, there's the before, and there's the after, and there's Christ transforming lives right in the middle. But the challenge is, we don't always know where we're at in that road. But we know what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be an example, be an encouragement, plant biblical ideas, ask God-oriented questions, and confront lies which are barriers to growth and barriers to belief. That's what we're supposed to do, whether we're before or after. Because if you're on a parade route, you know, hey, the parade is yet to come, or the parade has already gone. You know if you're before or after. I have found in my life, I don't always know. And so I don't pretend to know. I'm working with somebody, and sometimes I'm working with them as if they've already had that encounter with Jesus, and they haven't yet. And all of a sudden that light bulb comes on. Like, oh, now I get it. I'm like, oh, you didn't get it before? Other times, it's the opposite, where, you know, I'm like, oh, well, you know, let me introduce you. Let me explain to you. And they're like, oh, yeah, I've already got that. I just sort of fell off the route. I need some encouragement back on. Jesus and I are good. I'm putting up those barriers. I'm falling away. So we don't often always know if we're helping somebody, whether they have already met Jesus, have they not? Jesus already working on them? Well, Jesus is always working on them. But Jesus is lighting something in their lives at that moment. But it doesn't matter. Because what we do is the same, whether it's before or after. We are to live our faith in such a way that it stands out as different. We are supposed to encourage people and allow others to encourage us. We're supposed to know the Bible so we can plant biblical ideas. We're supposed to prod and encourage each other in our faith with questions of, how are you doing this? What do you think about that? And we're supposed to say, hey, this is truth and this is lie. Let us not be sucked in by the lies. All of this is pointing people to Jesus. Making a big deal about Jesus, the center of the Christian faith, the only actor that matters in the Christian faith, Christ. Such a big deal that maybe some people will ask, well, who is this? I love that at the end of this account, the whole city was stirred and they asked, who is this? Who is Jesus? Who is this person that everybody's making this big deal about? And sometimes we might keep our light just a little bit too much hidden from others so that they're not asking. But we should be living in a way that people say, well, who is this Jesus that's changing you? Who is this Jesus that has you doing this? Who is this Jesus that causes you to do that? Who is Jesus? We've been looking at ways to make our faith come alive. And if we take these actions in our lives, people will notice, because your life will be different. If you say, okay, I am going to spend daily time with God, that does change your spirit, that changes your outlook, that changes your nature. Daily time with God matters. But committing to weekly worship with others, that is not a normal pattern in the Northeast. Say, nope, I got church that time. That stands out. That is now a light. It didn't used to be. 50 years ago, oh yeah, if you didn't go to church, what was wrong with you? Now if you do go to church, what's up with you? Who is this Jesus you're going to worship? Regular giving. If you're giving 10% of your income, you feel it. That's one of the reasons I think God says, okay, I want to tithe. You know, 2%, hey, you can slip that out without really feeling it. 50%, well, then you might be into poverty. You do 10%, you still have 90% to live on, but you feel it when you're giving regularly. And when you're giving of your time to the things of God, if you're giving of your talent to the things of God, you feel that when that's a regular part of it, and that stands out as different. Healthy home relationships. Do you have a family that people say, hey, that's a family that I want to model after? I see good, healthy conflict resolution there. And then taking that out into the world of reconciling with others, not allowing festering wounds to not just run away or not just attack, but really work at reconciliation. As I said, we're going to do a lot about that after Easter. But this one, of being a faithful witness, sort of ties all these things together, but then puts intentionality in it, of being intentional about encouraging and asking and knowing that you're an example. And as we do this, we go out into the world and serve in the world. We are called to be a faithful witness. Final blank on your notes. You're called to be a faithful witness. We're a witness no matter what. We are always being watched. Whoever you are, whatever your title, whatever groups you're connected with in, you're a representative of, you know, white people or black people or Asian people or tall people or short people or, you know, rich people or poor people. And if you put that label Christian on you, you're a witness for Christ. Now be a faithful witness. Live it out with generosity. Live it out with reconciliation. Live it out with praise. Be a faithful witness.